Good morning. I've been asked to share my experience with the Holy Spirit. And my experience happened, I really can't remember, it was either in 2004 or 2005. I had recently accepted Christ back into my life. I always say that I became a Christian again, kicking and screaming, because of all the hurt and anger that I had towards God. And if I'm going to be really honest, I had more of a rage towards God. And I had been really concerned that God wouldn't take me back because of my past transgressions and anger and this wall that I had built up in between me and God. And I didn't know if it could ever be knocked down. So my experience happened during a Barlow Girl Todd Agnew concert. It was during Todd's part at the performance. He had just given a mini sermon because he was a worship leader before he got into doing concerts. And he had just started playing a song, Grace Like Rain. This is a song that starts off like Amazing Grace, but then he made it his own, stating how grace is like rain. It comes pouring down on us. And during this song, I lifted my hands up, which is kind of a big deal, because usually I'm not one to put my hands up. If I am, they're right here. And if I'm feeling extra, you know, moved, they might go all the way to here. So during this song, I had put my hands straight up. I lifted my face towards God, and I closed my eyes just to listen to the words of the song. Then I heard a voice that said, "You will go." And as I started crying, because I'm also not one to cry too much in public, I had like a feeling and a sensation, kind of like a tingling, start at the top of my head, and it just kind of slowly went down. And it went all the way down to my toes. And then I just had this calm, this peace inside of me. And that I knew that God and the Holy Spirit was with me, that no matter what I had done in the past, He had accepted me back, and He is with me always, and He will be with me, and that I will be able to join with Him in heaven one day. Since having this experience, it's helped me know that the Holy Spirit move me from knowing and believing in God to knowing in my heart and soul that I'm loved and I matter to God. Now, as I was writing this, what I was going to say today, I'm still learning about how God and the Holy Spirit used this experience to reach me. I hadn't been able to listen to the song Amazing Grace since the day of my brother's funeral. I see now that's when I built my wall towards God. Then to think that it was a different version of Amazing Grace, but an Amazing Grace nonetheless, that He let the Holy Spirit come to me during the song to let me know that I'm still His child, I'm still loved, and to let the wall come crashing down. Thank you.
You bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your goodness and everlasting love. We praise You for Your faithfulness. When so many of those around us do not seem to be faithful, we know we can depend on You. You are the same from generation to generation, and You never let us down. Your constant love surrounds us, even when we do not clearly sense it. We are confident in Your complete provision for our needs, even when it is not yet obvious to us. We are limited in our vision, but You are eternal. Help us to trust You in all things. Father, we pray for the many hurts that we have, some known only by You. For those of us in relationship that has strayed from You as the center, help those relationships to find their focus and direction from You. For those of us struggling in our marriages, for those of us whose loved ones are very sick, for those of us whose emotions have been deeply wounded by those closest to us, for those of us seeking employment and doing the best we can to follow Your call, send the Helper to be our guide and friend, to lift these burdens from us, to comfort us where we are weak, and restore us the joy of our salvation. Holy Spirit, we pray this morning that you touch our lives with your strong and powerful hand. Surround us in your love. Lord God, we pray for the continued blessings of Don Shannon, that his surgery was successful, for Earl Johns and Bob Schultz, who are undergoing treatment for cancer. And we pray and thank you, Lord, that they are here with us to worship this morning. Please heal them by your power. We lift up Dean Ladder and pray for the healing of his foot and a successful surgery to that end. We ask your blessings on the 35 people who are going on the Rancho Santa Marta trip, that you would help that team as the last details are worked out, and be with us all as we commission them next Sunday. We give you thanks for the great turnout at service worship last Sunday as we joined together with others in our community to serve. We think of the gratitude of the recipients, and we praise you for the opportunity to give others, to give to others in Jesus' name. We pray that this compassion will extend to our world, to our world leaders, and to all who must make decisions. Give them your wisdom and guidance. Help us to see ourselves, your provision for us, and your everlasting love for us through your caring eyes and sensitive heart. Help us to follow the path you have set before us, even if we do not understand the direction. Jesus, open our hearts and make ready our minds and wills and emotions, allowing us to be completely open to your presence this morning. Look clearly into our hearts as we sing and speak praise to you, and as we receive communion together. We pray that we will receive all that you have to give us this morning. May our lips and lives glorify you. And now as we prepare to receive tithes and offering, let us pray the prayer our Savior taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scriptures this morning are from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6-7, John chapter 17, verses 20-21, and Acts chapter 4, verse 32. So he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Lord Almighty, what are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. This is from John chapter 17, verses 20-21. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe in that you have sent me. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had.
So today we have an all-important game. Which team are you going for, the Giants or the Patriots? Okay. So you do care who, I mean, I've been talking to people and asking them, you know, who they're going for, and a lot of people say they don't care anymore because the 49ers lost and they shouldn't have lost, and now the world is a bleak landscape of meaningless ball throwing and unidentifiable jerseys that should be a different color, you know, if the world were a just place. But the world is not a just place, and it just doesn't matter anymore. So I'm glad to hear some enthusiasm out there. So if you know, if you're watching the Super Bowl today, just want to ask you to root for one team or the other. You got to do that, because otherwise it's no fun at all, right? If you remember a couple weeks ago, weekends ago, when all of us were going for the 49ers, we were hoping that they would win, and wasn't the air just electric with anticipation, you know? In our neighborhood, when the 49ers won, it was over the Saints, right, that they won? Well, yeah, okay. You could hear the whole neighborhood cheer at the same moment. It echoed through the Belmont Canyon near where we live. It was awesome. So, you know, today, choose a team that you are for, even though the 49ers are not playing. You know, just choose one of those lesser two teams who should have given up their place in the Super Bowl for the 49ers and root for them, okay? Cheer when they make a touchdown. Get excited. Throw your bag of chips in the air. Get ticked at the opposition and root for one or the other. And as you do this, I want you to think to yourself, just as I am rooting for this team to win, so God is rooting for me. God is for me. And this is the third sermon in a series of three that we've been talking about, where we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've nicknamed the Holy Spirit the Helper, because the term paraclete is the Greek word for Holy Spirit, and the prefix para and the root kalein together mean one alongside, to help. And that's why we're calling the Holy Spirit the Helper. Actually, in the ancient world, a paraclete was someone summoned to give assistance in a court of law. The paraclete was a legal advisor who pleaded a person's case in court. From many scriptures, we learn the gracious truth that God is both our judge and at the same time our defense attorney. It's a remarkable juxtaposition. The helper, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, is alongside to help you and to defend you, as a constant reminder that God is for you, not against you. Now, how hard it is for us to get that simple reality from our heads to our hearts. If we knew how much God was for us, we would never cease to praise Him. We'd have a praise on our lips all the time. This past week, I sat with a woman in my office who goes to another church, perish the thought, she'd been raised in the evangelical church. She'd been over-churched, in a way, if such a thing can happen. Church services, church camps, church outreach, church Bible studies, church, all her life growing up, from the time she was very young. And what she told me was that all of this church she had grown up with left her with this odd sense that she simply wasn't good enough. Ever. She had to keep trying harder, and no matter how much she heard about God's love for her, deep down she always felt that God was still slightly dissatisfied with her. Quietly disappointed. And expected more. She admitted that although she knew a lot about God, she never felt that God was really completely for her. Years of church, and her pervasive feeling was that God was still wishing she was different than who she was, as if He was waiting for her to reach some other level. I didn't know God, she said, even from all that church. I just knew a lot about Him. Until she had an experience of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in her life, and it was similar to what Amber described today. I'm not going to get into the details of her experience, but she had tears in her eyes as she told me about it, and it revealed to her the eye-opening truth that there was nothing she could do or not do that would make God love her any more or any less, that He was for her right where she was. And this caused her life to be transformed from the oughts and the shoulds to grace and joy. And she said to me, "Would you come to our church and help our leaders experience the Holy Spirit?" Kind of a high call there. She said, though, don't teach them any facts. They know so much about the Bible already. Just lead them into an experience of the Holy Spirit, because that's the only thing that can transform. I told her, okay, I can't control what God will do, but I would try to guide people through some prayer exercises that might allow them to get in touch with the helper. Well, she was there to talk to me because some of those exercises are in the book that I wrote just before I came here. And if you're interested, I'll just give you the book if you want it. So let me know. But these are exercises about the Holy Spirit and how we get in touch with him. But let me ask you this. What's wrong with the church that someone who was raised in it from birth hears about grace and the forgiveness of Jesus every Sunday and yet still feels less than? Can't quite make the mark. Knows God more like a distant, judgmental relative than a personal advocate and friend. I think that what is wrong with the church is that we have ignored the presence and power of the Holy Spirit for too long. The helper is the only one who can usher us into a personal, living, dynamic relationship with a God of grace and forgiveness and acceptance. The helper brings the reality of this that we've heard perhaps for many years to life for us, making it personal and relevant. See, we need the helper to get connected to God. We can't grasp the kind of love God has for us without the helper. It is not by power or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord, as the scripture was read moments ago. Now, I don't know about you, but most people have what we call a pet peeve, right? Something that just, you can't stand it when you see somebody do it. I don't know what your pet peeve is. Maybe there's a habit or behavior that just drives you crazy, you know, when you see it. For example, if you want to drive a hurry, addicted, impatient, type A character crazy, you know what you do? You waste their time. You get in front of them in line, like at Starbucks, and then when you get up to the counter, you know, and they're right behind you, tapping their toe, kind of anxious, impatient, and the person behind the counter asks you, you know, what do you want? You say, oh, I don't know. What do you have? It'll drive them nuts, right? Because it drives them crazy when their time is wasted. They value their time. Or do you want to drive a musician crazy? We have a lot of those in our church. Sing about a quarter of a note flat. A musician values music and beauty. Don't wreck it. Drives them bonkers. Or did you ever go to the home of an obsessively neat, perfectionistic person? You want to drive them crazy? On a hot day, get a large, sweaty glass of iced tea. Put it on the tabletop with no coaster. And here's why I raise the issue. Do you ever wonder what God's pet peeve is? Ever want to know what drives God crazy? What puts God on a tilt? I'll tell you, and it's pretty clear in Scripture. God's pet peeve, the thing that drives him crazy, is when we insist that he stay distant from us. When we convince ourselves that God is too busy for us, or is disappointed in us, or is not intimately concerned with everything that happens to us, when we refuse to accept his love for us, when we are convinced that in some way, shape, or form, we are destined to keep on trying to win his favor, and when our faith is more about what we do to be good people than about a love relationship with our Creator, drives God nuts. I mean, what else does he have to do to show us his extravagant love? He's already sent us Jesus. He's helped us to have access to the Helper, the Holy Spirit, available to us to make the truth of all that we read in the Bible relevant. All that we hear and say on Sunday morning come alive for us in a personal way and get us to the point where we can receive God's love, be awed by his grace, and fall in love with our Creator. It's like this box of matches, all right? This box of matches represents all that I've learned about God through all my years of going to church. I'll put that here. And this is me, okay? And I can hear all about this stuff over here. All the things I'm supposed to do, all the things I'm supposed to believe about Jesus. that God loves me. But I can be here, and there can be this complete disconnect. It has nothing to do with my life. But what the Holy Spirit does is He picks me up, brings me over here. Guess what I'm going to do? And sets my heart on fire. That's the connect. All right? And I start to burn with a love for my Creator. I start to be filled with God's warmth. I get passionate about the gospel. But this can't happen unless the Holy Spirit makes that connection for me. Okay. When I am truly touched by the Holy Spirit, I am awed by God's presence and I become alive. I become on fire for the gospel. I realize, too, in the moment when the Holy Spirit makes this connection, as Amber shared so well, that God is truly for me. Now, hear me, please. It isn't that God may be for you today, vacillating back and forth depending on if God's in a good mood or not. It isn't that God has been for you in the past because you were a better person back then before you messed up, but now, well, I don't know. It's not that God would be for you if you just got your act together. But God is for you today at this hour, at this minute. No need to wait in line or come back tomorrow to receive His grace. God is with you and could not be closer to you than at this very second. God's loyalty to you won't increase if you are better or lessen if you are worse. That's the essence of the message that the Helper brings to us. We need to hear that so badly. So don't miss out on the Helper. Otherwise, you will live your whole life in church trying to comply and fit in and meanwhile completely miss the point of the gospel, which is to get swept off our feet in a love relationship with God. So as we enter the Lord's Supper, it's on the night that He was betrayed that Jesus talks to His disciples at length, the longest discourse we have about the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. It's John 14, if you want to read more about it and following. So at a time when Jesus ought to be looking for comfort from His friends, right, because He's going to the cross, instead He comforts them. And He says this. He says, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Notice how Jesus says, another helper. Who was the first helper? Jesus Himself. The physical presence of Jesus with the disciples on earth. Jesus helped the disciples every step of the way, defended them, rooted for them, and was their friend through thick and thin. And now Jesus was going away. He was providing another helper who was the Holy Spirit, one alongside to help so they wouldn't be orphans, abandoned, alone, cut off from God's presence. You know, people always say to me, gosh, I wish I had lived in Jesus' day, if I could have just walked with Him and talked with Him and learn from Him. I wish I lived back then. You don't need to think that, because just as the disciples had fellowship with Jesus at the Last Supper and walked with Him through His 3 years of earthly ministry, so by the power of the Helper, we too at this table can have that same fellowship. So as you approach this table, invite the Helper, would you, to come and allow you to experience the immeasurable love of God for you. Ask the Helper to set your heart on fire, that you might know that God is for you today, rooting for you, cheering for you, ready to help you if you will let Him. God is not against you today in Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven, and now no power in heaven or earth can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So to lead us into communion this morning, follow along on the screens, and I'm going to read Romans 8 selected verses for you to frame this time together. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, the Helper, are the children of God. The Spirit, the Helper you receive, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit, the Helper you receive, brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father, the closeness, the intimacy. Abba means daddy. If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Would you pray with me? Blessed God, we know that nothing in heaven or earth can separate us from the love of Christ. What an amazing thing you did to come and die for us, to show us your extravagant love. Oh, Lord, help us to experience that this morning as we partake of communion. Help us to invite your Holy Spirit in, oh, Lord, and set our hearts on fire. We pray, Lord, that you would set these elements of juice and bread apart from a common to a sacred use, so that we might receive the grace you long to give us and draw close to you in this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to receive Holy Communion, and all who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to participate in this meal. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you would, in remembrance of me." In like manner, after he supped, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. We ask that you eat the bread individually when you get it, to symbolize your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that you'll hold the cup and we'll all partake together at the end to symbolize our unity in Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Be grateful and invite the Holy Spirit into this moment. The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink and be thankful. Go out in courage, have faith, hold on to that which is good, return no person evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.